Proverbs this morning. You can turn there if you would like. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 4. And we're going to look at a few verses in chapter 18. So Proverbs chapter 2, chapter 4, and chapter 18. And Tori, I gave you an order on the slides, but I might go in a little different order, so I'll just call for the one that I want. Love throwing a wrench in there for you. But Proverbs 2, Proverbs 4, Proverbs 18. Have you ever mistakenly shared something that bothers you with people that might be willing to do that thing that bothers you once they find that out, just to tease you? When I worked in youth ministry, I knew that I could not let anybody know that I did not like insects all that much. I'm not terrified of them, but I don't like them. And so, but what youth will do is they will try to find out what fears and what issues you have, and they'll bring bugs your way, they'll put them on you, and you have to make sure that you don't show the slightest indication that it bothers you, otherwise it'll be for the rest of your life. And I shared a few weeks ago on Wednesday night in our Bible study how when I ask someone if they'd do something or get involved with something, I can't stand when the answer is sure. And the reason why, if you've done that, I forgive you, I don't hold it against you, I'm not holding a grudge or anything, but the reason why I don't like it, unless there's an exclamation point to it, like if it's in a text and there's an exclamation point, that's good, or if it's sure, that's okay, but when it's just sure, what that says to me is you'll do it, but you don't really want to do it. And I want you to really want to do it. I want you to share the same excitement that I share about it. I want you to be all enthusiastic and all in about it. And so when you say, sure, that says that to me, I'm like, ah. And so a couple of ladies had taken up to start making sure they respond with sure all the time. Although Linda tried to mess with me and she sent a sure with an exclamation point to it. So I was like, okay, good. And she's like, I can't even harass them right. But that might not bother some of you. All of us are different, and we receive things differently. You know, a sure to you might be, okay, good, they're good with that, I'm good. And the rest of us, that might be like, don't say sure, and just bothers us. And we're in the Christmas season, and you're going to be hanging out with relatives and extended family members, some that you like and some that you maybe not. And you have experienced it. How many of you have siblings? Okay, was there ever tension with you and your siblings growing up? Are there still possibly tensions with you and your siblings now? And when you get together for the holidays, part of the reason why it's stressful, one, we know it's all the gift buying that can make us stressful and all the extra traffic and busyness. And some of it is that we know we're going to be with people that we're always just tense with when we're around them. And some of it has to do with past harm and someone did something wrong and things like that. And some of it just has to do with that they just don't see the world the same way you do. They just don't feel the same way that you do. And have you ever talked with somebody and you found out that they see something kind of completely opposite to you, and your reaction is to step back and go, really, that's how you see that? And then you walk away afterwards and you think, how does that work? How can I even see the world that way? That's just bizarre to me. Have you ever had that before?
Yeah.
Okay. And Philippians 1, verse 9, Paul is writing to the Philippians, and we're going to get to Proverbs. He's writing to Philippians, and he's telling them, and he's praying for them, and he's praying that their love for each other would grow. And the specific way that he prays that their love would grow would be in knowledge and depth of insight. Knowledge and understanding of one another and being insightful about each other. Some people are amazing gift givers, and you see them at their best during the Christmas season. For example, and I don't know if Joni is regularly an amazing gift giver or not, but she remembered that last year she got me peppermint bark, which I love peppermint bark, which means that I might get a bunch of peppermint bark before Christmas comes, now that I said that. That's not intentional, by the way. But she remembered last year how much I was excited to get peppermint bark, so guess what? A year later, here comes the peppermint bark. Now, if it were me, I wouldn't be able to remember. What was that I got for her again? I don't remember. But some people are insightful, and they pay attention to what makes someone feel loved, what bothers them, and what makes them feel excited and happy or at peace, and those sort of things. And there is a great benefit, not just to ourselves, but to others and to the kingdom, when we can be insightful and understand each other. Because what angers me might make you excited. You know, just for example, like Heather and I are completely different. So if someone shows up and says, hey, just changed all the plans for the day, and we're going to do this new thing that's really exciting. For her, she'd be thrilled. For me, I'd be like, what? What do you mean everything's changed? I had this all planned out. This is what I wanted to do. That's even a more fun thing to do, but I would rather do the plan. And so we just react to things differently. And if we're going to love people, and we're going to impact people and minister to them and hopefully lead them into the kingdom if they're not already in, or lead them to further growth in the Lord, we're going to have to understand how they work. And not everybody sees the world the same way that you do. And so I have to understand how other people see things. And I'm not talking about if they see things incorrectly, but it can include that. If they see the world incorrectly, I need to understand that. And I might need to bring correction to that at some point, but I need to understand where they're coming from. And what did Solomon ask of God that got such a favorable response from God? Solomon asked for wisdom. God, I want wisdom. The riches and the fame and all that stuff you can leave aside. I want wisdom. And if you've read Proverbs, you will find that a lot of his wisdom comes, one, through observing people. It almost feels like he was an obsessive people watcher. If you've read Proverbs, he's constantly watching. It's like he was looking out the window to watch and see what happened between the foolish man and the adulterous woman. He's just watching the behavior of people all the time. And a lot of the instructions or the advice has to do with how to relate with one another. Because I can go hide in a room somewhere, and for the most part, I can be godly in there. But you put me around other people, well, then now that's where stuff begins to surface that it makes it more difficult. It's easy to be patient by myself, but have to deal with other people who are different than me or maybe are frustrating to me, then is when it gets difficult to be patient or kind or gracious or to not be angry and those sort of things. And so where the rubber usually meets the road for me to express that I have God's character acting in my life is how I relate to other people. And in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, Solomon writes this: "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver," so you can't say, if God says, do you want wisdom, you can't say, sure. You can't do that, okay? That's what Solomon is writing here. It can't be, sure, I'll take wisdom. It has to be, yes, I want wisdom more than all my bills to be paid. I want wisdom more than for my body to be in perfect health. I want wisdom more than I want anybody to like me. I want wisdom more than everything. I feel the excitement here. You guys are about to say sure to me. I know it. Search for it like silver, and search for it as for hidden treasures. Verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Not just by following the Lord, not just through happenstance, but when I desperately want to have wisdom and understanding and insight, then I will have the wisdom of God. I have to want it and desire it and seek it. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, beginning at verse 7, says, "The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Guard her, for she is your life. There is a lot of benefits to having wisdom. Lots of benefits to having wisdom. And not that we should pursue wisdom to have the benefits, but hopefully if we need some motivation, just know that there is a lot of benefit to having wisdom. In fact, I've been teased at times that I am an old soul, that my behavior and my way of thinking is probably a couple decades older than my body is. And part of that is just because of my tendencies and personality. And the other part is that I have taken these verses quite literally and have acquired as much wisdom as I possibly can. Because you know how experience is the best teacher, right? If I experience it, that's the best teacher. But sometimes you can learn through somebody else's experience rather than you having to go through that. If you'll listen with an open mind and pay attention to what they're saying. And so when I was in Bible college and newly saved, I went up to several professors and were like, will you mentor me? Will you show me how to follow Jesus? Will you show me how to minister to people? And if you ask the right person, they'll be like, yes. They won't say sure. They'll say absolutely. And they'll be thrilled to do it, and they will feed into your life. And there is so much to gain by having wisdom and knowledge and insight. Then go over to, actually, chapter 4, skip down to verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your feet away from evil. When we walk in this life, we need to think about ourselves. Now, that sounds funny, but that's because of a reflective thing that is needed. And Paul talks about that in Corinthians, that we need to examine ourselves. Because many times we have blind spots and we have flaws and we have weaknesses that are not being addressed because we don't even know that they're there. Have you ever met people that they have blind spots and they don't notice that they're there? Or talk with people that they sound ignorant and they don't even know that they're ignorant? And that's because sometimes we're just not aware, and we need to pay attention to where we're going, our feet, what we're doing, and our actions and our words, and we need to pay attention to what's going on in this heart. Because there are things that go in this heart that drive you and motivate you to do and say the things and feel the things that you feel, and you're not actually addressing them at their core. And so I need to know and understand what's going on in me, not so that I can become self-focused, not that I can become greedy, but that I can begin to see what's wrong in there. Because did you know there's a lot wrong in here? And I'm pointing to my own heart, not just as an example. There is a lot wrong in here, and I need to know and be aware of what's going on in there so that I can let the Lord change me by, again, pursuing wisdom and knowledge and insight. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, verse 2 through 7. Proverbs 18, verse 2 through 7 says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Have you ever known that? You try to explain something to somebody and their response is what they know about it? And oftentimes it comes before you're not even finished saying what you were trying to say. Yeah, well, I know about that. And they tell you all that they know about that, whatever that is. Have you ever had someone do that and you know more than them and you're thinking, yeah, actually, you don't know what you're talking about, but you're being nice and you're not saying that? You're not being nice if they ask you for a response and you go, sure. I'm going to hammer this to the ground. This joke will never die. So I need to make sure that I'm listening to the people around me and especially to the Holy Spirit and to Scripture more than I am what I know and what I think that I know. Verse 3, when wickedness comes, contempt comes also, and with dishonor comes disgrace. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. It is not good to be partial to the wicked or to deprive the righteous of justice. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. Have you ever seen that happen before? Maybe not a physical one. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his souls. Again, just to highlight that verse 4, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. If you want to know the things that are happening that you're unaware of within you, listen to what you say and watch what you do. Isn't that the instructions that Proverbs just gave us? To ponder our actions and to think about our hearts. If you want to know what's going on in there, pay attention to your words. Jesus says, out of the mouth, the abundance of the heart speaks out of the mouth. When you speak, you're always revealing something. Start to listen to yourself when you speak, and you will start to see sometimes that, oh, I didn't realize there was bitterness there or envy there. Oh, I didn't realize that there was that impurity there, that hatred there. Or I didn't realize there was so much insecurity there or a struggle with trust with God or with other people. Or I didn't realize there was some selfishness there. And the more you listen to the things you're saying, because I'm telling you, we're all ignorant a lot of times, aren't we? Aren't we? All of us are ignorant to so many things a lot of times because part of it is our finite nature. We're limited. We don't have everything. We're not like God. We don't have infinite knowledge and infinite wisdom. And also part of it is our impulses. We have fleshly impulses that drive us to do different things and emotional impulses. And sometimes we do it without thinking. I mean, have you ever done and said something and then stepped back and thought, why did I do that? I can't believe I did that. I would have never done that if I would have thought for a second. But I did it anyway. And so when I'm teaching you guys a basic understanding of different ways of seeing things, which the world might call personality types, I hope that you understand why I'm doing it. And that is because we need to have wisdom and knowledge and insight to understand the way different people think in order for me to love on them the way I need to love on them. In order for me to minister to them, witness to them the way I need to minister and witness to them. Because what might work for one person might not work at all or be completely counterproductive for the other. And as much as we might say, well, I'll be observant and I'll just pay attention and watch, and that is true. You can pay attention and be observant. How many care to admit that you're much less observant than you would like to be? Anybody? Say, I just keep missing stuff all the time, all right? So why not acquire wisdom and knowledge everywhere you can? And insight where you can, instead of relying on yourself, which is interesting to think about that. No, I'll just observe and I'll watch it myself. Well, then you're relying on yourself rather than relying on other people to provide strength for you. So this is why I am teaching us this, and I'm also doing it because I feel like God wants to bring a move to us. I feel like He wants to move in our midst. And when God moves, some great things happen and some weird things happen. People get of the spirit and people will get of the flesh. And people will want God's agenda and then they'll want their own agenda. And they'll call it God's agenda. And people will criticize and ridicule and oppose. And then people will help and serve and support. And all kinds of reactions will happen when God moves. And I'm telling you, if God moves, it's going to get messy. And we need to make sure that we're prepared, that we have enough wisdom and understanding and insight and understanding of the Scripture and understanding of the way the Spirit works and understanding the way we work and other people work, so that when we begin to react to stuff, and you will react, you will, whether it's internally or externally, you will react, and that we will react in such a way that doesn't quench the Spirit, that doesn't hinder what God's trying to do, but it brings accentuation to what God wants to do. Isn't that what you want? Don't you want to be there? And so I have to begin to understand that this isn't because this person's not of God. It's because they don't think the same way I do. Okay? And this isn't because this person hates me. It's just because they don't feel the same way that I feel. And if I can begin to understand those things, then there's help for me. And so I encourage you, that because I'm just giving you like scratch the surface stuff. And if you want to go deeper with this, I encourage you, just send me a text and say, hey, I'd like to understand more of this or some guidance with this. Just text me, and then we'll find a way to start bringing that about. And no one's texted me yet. That's why I'm plugging it over and over and over again. I hope that means that everybody understands everybody so thoroughly that you don't need any help at all. I hope that's what that means. Where's a... I know where you live, Steve. So, where we've been so far as understanding different ways that different people, way people see things, is we've looked at the power lens. And just to give an understanding, you have the exterior behavior, and then you have the interior motivation. And sometimes we don't realize that we have this interior motivation. But just to summarize, a power person will display a lot of intensity and power and control and aggression on the outside. And the motivation, again, depending on someone's spiritual maturity level and emotional maturity level, that stuff on the outside is being displayed because they have this sense of insecurity about themselves, especially when it comes to vulnerability. And I know that someone could hurt me if I let them in close enough. And so they put up this power wall to make sure that you can't get in. They want to be intimidating almost to make sure that you can't get in, not because they're powerful, but because they're being self-protecting. But if a person like that becomes mature, they will use that power and that aggression and that intensity to bring about justice, righteousness, and to lead people towards a good common goal and a common cause and become a good leader. And their motivation will be to glorify God and help others rather than to protect themselves. And we need to know our heart to know what is actually motive. Because we can do, did you know you can do a lot of good things with very bad motives? So we need to know what is it that's driving me. And when you see those kind of people, you need to understand what might be going on as to why they react that way so that you can show them grace and mercy and not be so overreactive to that dynamic. And the peace person, the person who has the peace kind of lens, they're also being self-preserving, and they also have a struggle with their sense of self-worth, and that's why they just go along with everybody else. And they're very easygoing, and they seem to be very helpful and very nice, but they won't be aggressive because they are trying to make sure, because they feel if they bring conflict, that they're not valuable anymore because they've disturbed something and they've made someone upset. And if that's what they've done, then they're not valuable. And they're often not trying to elevate themselves. They're trying to just get up the status quo. And so they avoid conflict like the plague. And they also do it because they don't want to be harmed as well, and they perceive conflict as the potential for harm. And so they'll run from it like crazy, unless I'm spiritually mature. And then they become the blessed or the peacemaker type people. They're motivated not for self-preservation and not for a sense of well-being, but they're motivated because they want to bring peace to others. And isn't that a beautiful thing if we can get that motivated? Because all these exterior tendencies and actions, I believe, are God-given. It's just sometimes they're tainted by sin and by our insecurities and those sort of things. The perfectionist lens. Now, I want you to know that just because I've been self-admitting that is my lens, and I tease myself for my idiosyncrasies and I kind of make fun in an extreme end, I want you to know that I'm actually not the extreme end of those things. So I don't have obsessive compulsive disorder. Although the people that have this perfectionist lens are the most likely to fall prey to that if they do. And don't give me that doubting look over there. Heather's looking at me like, well. And when I describe the tensions between different ways of seeing things, understand that the Lord has really developed me and done a work in my life relationally, that while a perfectionist lens might have conflict with maybe a peace lens, I might not feel that same way. Because sometimes I struggle with this because I think if I share this and I say this is the way I see it, and people that see it this way drive this type of person crazy, then you'll think, oh, Pastor, I drive Pastor crazy. And that's not true for most of you. Just kidding. But a perfection lens, and sometimes it's called reformer, because perfection is really depending on how they define what they think perfection is. So you might have one that's very super clean and one that's not, because they just decided that cleanliness isn't actually the definition of perfection. So it will change from person to person. But their motivation is that, again, they're trying to guard for a sense of self-worth when they're not fully mature. Try to guard a sense of self-worth, and if I have a flaw in me, that means that there's something wrong with me. And so they will desperately try to make sure that they don't have any flaws in them. And that's why when these people get criticized, they don't respond very well usually, depending on their emotional well-being, because you're attacking them. You're lessening their value in their minds. You're decreasing the value that they have. So they will try their hardest to be completely flawless to avoid this criticism. And them doing good things and them perfecting things and improving things, and when they're not healthy, is not coming from good motives. It's coming from them needing to preserve themselves and to feel better about themselves. But when they are healthy, when the Lord has done a work in their life, these are the people that can improve almost anything. And they can bring glory to God because they can make things so flawless and so perfect and so good if they're motivated to just make things better rather than just to avoid criticism. Then the helper that we talked about last week, the helper, emotional demonstration and overly emotional, and we mentioned that I won't usually mention my family members unless it's a very good quality. And not that none of these don't have good qualities, but my Maria is the helper. And she, I don't know if I told you this last week, we were at a homeschooling event one day, and there were these students coming into the building, and she flings the door open and goes, "Hey, how are you doing? I'm so glad to see you." And she's just all elated about seeing them. And me, I'm thinking, I don't know if I would ever have that reaction. I don't even know if I could fake it, because it would not look like that. And there are some people that are just oozing emotion, but their emotion that they feel is everybody else's emotions. They're so in tune to the feelings of the people around them. And unlike those first three that tend to be more protective and trying to protect themselves, these individuals, and they're trying to prevent things. So the power person is trying to prevent you getting into that vulnerable space. The peace person is trying to prevent harm and that disruption and bringing conflict. And the perfectionist is trying to prevent criticism. The next few, which we talked about, the helper last week, is actually trying to make something happen. They would not be satisfied in just helping you. They want to help you, and they need to receive your affection or your "that was really helpful, I needed you" kind of thing, because inside of them they have this hole that, and sometimes they don't realize it, that I don't matter, I don't have value unless I do something. These are our doers. They tend to be works oriented, and I'm not valuable unless I helped you somehow. I'm not valuable unless you needed me somehow. And so when they're not healthy, their zest for helping and being feelings towards people is really motivated out of a sense of trying to find a way to feel valuable. And in fact, these are the types that when you tell them, when you don't respond the right way, eventually they get real irritated with you because you're not showing affection and approval and affirmation for them. And we'll laugh sometimes because Maria will show something and then she'll wait for the response. And then if you're not paying attention, you'll think, "What are you waiting for?" And she's waiting for you to say, "Thank you very much. That was very helpful." Okay? Because they're searching for that. They need that. And that's okay. You know, if someone's unhealthy around you, or not unhealthy, maybe just not developed or matured, and they're being needy, that's okay. If people are being needy, then meet their needs. You're going to see how I need to love on this person now. And if they are healthy and they are mature, these people are going to help just because they want to demonstrate God's love. And I see that in Maria too. She will help just because she loves people and she wants to love on people. And wouldn't you love to be that? And all of us have different tendencies that have messed us up in different ways, but also become strengths. Because again, the power people, they can deal with conflict like none other. And so if you have an issue going on and you need someone to bring the power and bring the confrontation, go find your power person. And say, "Hey, will you go talk to them?" And they will bring it like you can't bring it. And if you need someone that will just be able to bring the calmness and almost be a diplomat to bring peace, speech, and reconciliation, you need to find the peace person, because nobody else can do it quite like that person. And if you need to find the person that can find out all the things that are flawed and wrong, find the perfectionist person, because if you ask them, be careful if you ask them, because if you ask them, they will tell you all the things that are wrong, because they've seen them and they've been storing it up there, they've just not been telling you yet. And it's bothering them too. And if you need someone to do the serving and do the helping, and you need someone to show the compassion, and you need someone to truly feel what somebody else feels, go find the helper person. Now, we can do this and we can minister in those ways, but not quite like that person does. Because as we see in 1 Corinthians 12, God chooses to give gifts to us. And he chooses to allow you to be strong at one thing and you to be strong at another thing, so that we can become interdependent upon one another and rely upon each other, and not any of us become self-sufficient in ourselves. That should not be the goal, to become self-sufficient. The goal should be to become in total harmony with Jesus' body and with Jesus himself. Amen? Amen? So then, the problem is when we see things different ways, sometimes we get in fights because of it. Sometimes we disagree and we argue with each other. So, Tori, this is where we'll rely on you. I love throwing wrenches in people's way. Part of it is because it drives me if someone throws a wrench my way. It drives me crazy. Let's put up that, I think it's the second slide, the one with power in the center. The next one. There we go. So, if I see the world through a power lens and I'm interacting with a person who sees the world through the peace lens, I'm attempting to bring confrontation, they're attempting to bring peace, and we're working the opposite direction, if you see that. And so what happens is there's disagreements that begin to erupt, or I begin to get annoyed, or if I'm the peace person, I probably just begin to avoid that person altogether, and I just want to stay away from that. And if we do that, we miss an opportunity for growth, because God wants us to grow in the tension. Because the tension, me as a power person, needs the peace person in my life, because I will tend to confront at times that I need to let it go. And the peace person, by their behavior and their words and the things that they do, will challenge whether or not I need to confront. And if I'm a peace person, the power person is going to challenge me, because I'm going to tend to not want to confront anything. And I need to confront. And that power person, as pesky as that power person might be for me, is showing me that I might not have drawn the line at the right spot. I might need to confront more than I am, and I can see it by the intensity coming from that person. If I'm a power person relating to a perfectionist person, a power person just wants to get it done, all right? They got the energy to drive us to say, let's just get this done already, all right? And the perfectionist person is trying to slow the process down. Because we need to stop, and we need to observe, and we need to see all the things that are happening, and we need to figure out the right way to do this, and we need to make a plan. Power people don't like plans, really. They just like to go on impulse and do, and the perfectionist person is slowing it down. And you see how they are in conflict with one another? And if they're not socially aware and they're not mature and developed, they will just fight each other. Instead of the power person learning how to do the stuff they can do better, and the perfectionist person will need to learn when to let go some of the rules. Now, I'm not talking about biblical rules. I'm talking about, if you know a perfectionist person, they have a lot of rules. There is a right way to do everything, and it really, honestly, a lot of times it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if that communion table is where it is or a foot to the right. It doesn't matter. You know, there are a lot of things that a perfectionist person thinks matters and it doesn't. And a power person will help challenge that in their lives. And I need to sit in that tension and grow in that tension and realize, okay, it's time to move, all right? Who cares if it's not done exactly the way I want it to be? It's time to move and grow. Then a power person reacting to a helper. A power person really wants to empower somebody, where a helper just wants to feel sympathy for somebody. And the power person will, they're the type of person that will possibly be found saying to another guy, man up. Come on, just man up. Just shake it off. Come on, toughen up. Just get thicker skin and just push past. What's that? Throw some dirt on it. Yeah, throw some dirt on that wound. All right, just come on, shake it off. And what will happen is they will run over someone's feelings. And so they need to recognize, and the helper person will help them, because they will constantly be pushing for acknowledging and meeting and ministering to someone's feelings. And that being aware, that being in my life, I might be tempted to fight it rather than sit back and say, you know what, maybe I need to learn a little bit from this. And the helper needs to learn because they will sometimes show so much sympathy that they'll leave somebody in their problems. They won't actually ever bring about the empowerment piece that is needed to push them out of the problems that they're feeling, because they just want to stay in the, you know, feeling moment. And sometimes we need, and the power person is going to challenge me and make me put, and I can either choose to get mad at them and fight that, or I can choose to learn that I need a balance between empowering somebody and being sympathetic. Then the we'll skip that next part. Go to the next one, Tori, which I think is our peace one. Do you ever feel like you have some of these fights? Do you have some of these fights? I think they happen all the time, and they're probably going to happen in about 12 days or so when Christmas comes, 10 days when Christmas comes, okay? If I'm the peace person and I'm interacting with the perfection lens type person, the peace person wants to extend grace, the perfection person wants justice. Perfection person has a hard time letting things go. They do. Like, no, but it's not the right way. But no, they did the wrong thing. But no, they're wrong, and they don't know that they're wrong. Did you know sometimes someone could be wrong, and you don't have to be the one to tell them they're wrong? That's hard for some. Us perfectionist people are kind of the lecturers. We're always found lecturing people. Well, you know, you should have done this because, and well, you should have done this because, and we're always often found lecturing people rather than showing grace and just overlooking things. And it's going to drive the peace person crazy because they're thinking, well, you just let it go? Because they feel the conflict. Like, it makes them tense because the perfection person just keeps bringing up the disagreement. And they're like, just let it go. I don't feel good about this, all right? And the perfection person is thinking, don't you care? Don't you care about justice and righteousness? What's wrong with you? And in the moment, we can choose to fight each other over it, or we can choose to learn from each other. And the perfection person needs the peace person in their life so they can learn when they have to say, I'm just going to let it go. I'm not going to say anything. Isn't that hard? Any of my perfectionist people, isn't it hard to not say anything about that flaw that's just right there in front of you? Yeah. Not that I've ever felt that in my life before. A peace person interacting with a helper person. Now, this one you might not actually see on the outside, but you, if you are the person, you might see it on the inside. And a peace person will see the big picture because they are trying to avoid conflict. And so if I feel the conflict over there, my eyes go to it, and I'm thinking, how do I stop it or how do I avoid it? And then once that's addressed somehow and there's conflict going over here, they notice it over there too. And they're almost like distracted. They can't focus because they're constantly moving from one potential conflict to the other. And what happens is they can't give very focused, individualized attention to somebody. In fact, they say of peace people that they're only listening to you about 60% of the time. The rest of the time, their mind's just kind of off wandering about other things. But a helper, they are incredibly in tune to you. They know precisely how you feel. They're paying attention to your every word, and it's like there's nobody else in the room. But the problem is I can become so focused on this person, I'm not aware that there's other, maybe even more important needs that are around me. And if I'm the peace person, the problem is I can be not really be showing the love that I need to show because I'm more focused on making sure I'm keeping the peace. And we need each other. We need each other, and we need that tension. Next slide. What do we got? The helper one next, Tori? Oh, perfection. Thank you. I'm not wearing my glasses, so I can't see that. I'm just kidding. perfection with the helper and this could actually boil over pretty big sometimes between the perfectionist and the helper, because the perfectionist wants to analyze everything to death, and the helper wants to overlook everything, okay? In fact, they would rather you drop any issue you have so that we can feel good with each other, all right? We just want to feel good with each other. We don't want anybody to be mad, and they're kind of similar to the peace people, except they're not just looking for there to be no conflict. They're looking for the good feelings, you know? It almost makes me think of Mr. Rogers. Such a good feeling to know you're alive. Sorry, I'm still envious. Some saw that movie and I haven't seen it yet. Don't give me any spoilers in it. And if I mention seeing it, don't say, sure, okay? Don't do that. But with the helper who has this struggle with their who they are and their self-image and they're trying to be valuable in helping, for someone to bring analytical thought to them is killer. It is because they already feel bad about themselves already, even if they're not aware of it. So if you find yourself confronting a helper, what will happen is, unlike the peace person who might just run away and cry, The helper will probably turn to the power person and they will attack you like a mother bear robbed of her cubs. Don't mess with a helper, all right? Because if you start bringing that stuff, if they're not mature, and all you guys are really mature, so I know that we won't have these dilemmas with you guys. Sure. Don't say that! So the analytical perfectionist needs to learn to just not bring up certain issues, even if they're important. You just need to not say anything about it, especially with that person. And it doesn't mean that we don't ever address issues. It's just sometimes we need to make sure we address them the right way, and sometimes we need to make sure I'm the right person to address it. Did you know that you don't need to address every single sin issue that there is in the world? You personally don't need to do that. You might need to confront some of them, but not every one of them. Every time someone sins, you don't need to be the person who throws on the cape and runs in to save the day all the time. You don't have to. And our perfectionist people are right now dying inside because they're thinking, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. No, I'm supposed to do that. I know you're laughing over there, Joni, for a reason. But I need the helper to show me that, to show me compassion and grace and to be able to overlook an offense, to not say anything about it. And the helper needs the perfectionist person to drive them towards being analytical, because many times they let feelings rule the day and problems never get solved. And we need both those things to happen, okay? So we need that balance in there. And if we get all that, Joni, go to that first, or Joni. Tori, go to the first slide. What we end up with, if we have all of us, if we have all the gifts functioning, because what does Paul say? If we're all an eye, where's the hearing? If we're all an ear, where's the seeing? We're blind if we don't have the eyes. And we're deaf if we don't have the ears. And we can't go anywhere if we don't have the feet. We need all the different types of people. And if we have that, then we will collectively, through God's enabling, we'll have energy and the drive to act. We'll have the ability to see all sides and a drive for unity. We'll have excellence and a drive to improve. We'll have support and a drive to serve. And in a moment, we'll conclude with we'll have effectiveness and a drive to succeed. And then we'll collectively have unity, a drive, a cause, greatness, and compassion. Doesn't that sound beautiful? Wouldn't you love for Bethel to be that? But we can't be that if we don't have all of them. If we only have some of the strengths and not all of them, we won't be there. So we'll conclude with the glory lens. Some people see the world through glory. And these people are also feelers. These people also are at times out of touch with their own feelings. These are the people that work the room. These are the people that if there's a crowd of people, they're the ones that are just working everybody. And they're charming, and they're charismatic, and they're the ones that when you leave a get-together, you say, did you meet so-and-so? They're amazing. I mean, they're so cool, they're so nice, they're so smart, they're so successful, they're so everything. Because what happens with the person who sees the world through the glory lens is when they enter a room, it's like they launch audience analysis software. And they're trying to figure out not just the feel of one person, but the feel of the entire room. And they're trying to figure out, what do I need to be to impress these people? What do I need to be to get these people to like me, to accept me? What do I need to do to get them to think that I'm put together and I achieve and I accomplish things? And these people can be similar to the perfectionist people because they try to make everything just awesome all the time. Same as a perfectionist. But a perfectionist, they'll do it whether you're watching them or not because it's the right way to do it. The person who sees through the glory lens, they're only going to do it if they know it's going to be seen, if they're not mature, because they have this, like the helper, they have this hole within them that they feel like they're not adequate, and they don't have value, unless, and again, they become works-oriented as well, unless they're achieving, unless they're accomplishing things, unless they're being successful, unless they're put together. And these are just like the perfection, if you criticize this person, it's going to send them into a hole, because you're telling them they don't matter, they're not valuable if you say that they're not accomplished and put together and successful. And these are the kind of people that might be prone to bragging and towards arrogance, because if they don't feel like you love them and are approving of them, then they'll start telling you all the things that they do and all the ways that they're successful and that they accomplish things. And they desperately, desperately need approval. And if I'm encountering someone who is that and they have these struggles going on in them, the reaction isn't to say, you're not really all that you think you are. You know, you're not actually that amazing. And again, the perfectionist, who's the analytical one, they're usually the first ones to see right through them and see that, yeah, there's a whole bunch of phoniness going on right there. And it's true when they're not healthy, because this person wears masks all the time. They're constantly trying to figure out, how can I fit in with this group? How can I be accepted by this group? And they will almost be like a chameleon, and they'll change. And these are the people that are terrified when two of their groups collide at the same time. Oh, no, 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 they can't be here because I'm this way for them, and I'm this way for them, and now I don't know what to do because both groups are here. And what happens is sometimes they eventually don't even know who they are anymore. They're so focused on pleasing other people that they don't even know who they are and what they want and what they care about. But if they're mature, these are the people that can create a show. They can draw attention. They can draw in a crowd. They can make stuff happen because they're so focused on achievement. If they are mature and they're doing it to bring glory to God and to help the kingdom of God and help others, then that's a beautiful picture. But when it comes from this need of, I need people to accept me, then that's when things fall apart. If you are this person, then first reference a couple of biblical characters. I think that Jacob and Joseph might have seen through this lens. These people are willing to break rules to get it done. They're focused more on efficiency than they are ethics. And you see Jacob do that a lot of times, being deceptive to get the things that he wants to get and being manipulative. I mean, it's still amazing to me, that story of the sheep with him and Laban, and how he just, you know, did something to the sticks, and then sheep began to give birth to certain types of sheep, and then he changed it and just kind of manipulated that whole thing. And Joseph was fixated on his dreams, and probably unintentionally, but he was telling his brothers, hey, you want to hear how amazing I am? Hear these dreams that I have. I mean, you guys are all going to bow to me, and I'm just awesome, all right? And it's just kind of, you see this there. And if you're this type of person, probably one of your favorite verses is the parable of the talents. You should be doing all the stuff and maximize all your potential and do all the stuff that you could potentially do. But what you might need to hear is Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory I give to no other. You do not need to have God's glory. It belongs only to him. You might need to hear, if you're in an emotionally not good place. Again, we quote this often, Psalm 139, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Not because I'm powerful, not because I've kept the peace, not because no one's criticized me, not because I helped a lot of people, not because I've achieved and accomplished a lot of things. You are valuable just because of who you are. Just because you were created by God. You don't need to do stuff to become valuable. You don't need to be a certain thing to a certain person to be valuable. You just need to be who God has created you to be. Not to sin, not to be ungodly, but to be who God has created you to be. You may also need to hear Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. No matter what you accomplish, no matter how flawless and how nice and how helpful you are nothing if you don't have faith, if you don't trust and believe in Jesus. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? And what I'm going to do, because I know that I went a tad over, it's already 2:30. Don't say sure. I said that to make you feel better when I say it's 11:46. And the Steelers game is not until 8 o'clock tonight, so we're good. And so I'm not going to give a typical altar call, though I'll ask you to show hands if you need me to pray for you. But just know that you're welcome when we conclude. This place, this altar, is always open for you to come and seek him and pray and let the Lord do a work in him. So when we conclude, if you want to come and seek him, be my guest to come up here and seek him. But when we get so fixated on a thing, as good as it might be, we don't realize that we end up with tunnel vision, and we fail to see the other things around us. So, bad example, but I'll use it anyway. If I decided that I wanted to get the roads in this neighborhood fixed up and improved, and I become very focused on that, I might miss that maybe some of the things I'll do to improve the roads will actually destroy other things if I'm so focused on that one good thing. And that happens with all the ways we see. We get so focused and so angled in on needing to be in control or needing to be at peace or needing to be flawless or needing to be helpful or needing to achieve things that we miss a bunch of other things that are needed and useful for God's kingdom. And if you see the world through the glory lens, you have a lot to offer us and you have some potential flaws. One of your potential flaws is you might struggle with integrity and authenticity because you're afraid to show yourself because you're trying to impress and have value. And you need the Lord to help you with your heart and your fear and your concerns there, and let him help you to know that you have such great worth just because you're made by him. And know that if someone knows your flaw and if someone thinks less of you because they know your flaw, that doesn't make you any less of a person. And know that there is intimacy and connection that is available if you can remove that mask. And again, like I said before, you have an amazing ability to bring energy to the room, an amazing ability to attract a crowd. And don't we need that in God's kingdom? Don't we need the people that can draw in a crowd? That can display God's glory that is so attractive that the people just flock to it? We need those people. We need each one of us. And so for just a moment, if you would close your eyes and bow your heads. If you're here today and you would say, you know, just kind of thinking through this and wanting to be insightful, want to be wise and wanting to have the knowledge of God, I know, especially maybe heading into this Christmas season, perhaps you're saying, you know, I'm struggling with relating to others. I'm struggling with seeing through other people's eyes and understanding the people in my life. And I want God to help me with that. If that's you, heads bowed, eyes closed, would you lift your hand and just say, that's me? Good. Anybody else? God, I need help relating. Good. Anybody else? I need help thinking like others. Not thinking unbiblically, not thinking sinfully, just thinking like others. Good. Anybody else? Or maybe you're here today and you just want to make sure you have a right view of yourself. Not too high, not too low. So maybe you need encouragement, maybe you need correction. I don't know where you are there. But you're recognizing that, you know what, I think I miss it sometimes. I think sometimes I'm clueless with what's going on inside of me, and I think sometimes I'm clueless with what actually is the Lord speaking in my life and what's actually just me. And I want to a greater degree, be able to have discernment. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Good. Anybody else? Good. Good. Lastly, if maybe you are the one who sees the world through that glory lens and you're struggling with all the components of that, you're realizing that you put on a show, but you don't really feel all that great about yourself. You realize that maybe you might come off as arrogant and those sort of things, and these are things that you want the Lord to help you to grow and mature so that you're doing things not for show, not to get attention, but so that you can draw the attention to Jesus. If you wrestle with that perspective, would you just lift your hand and say, that's me. I wrestle with that perspective. I need the Lord's help in that. Okay, good. Anybody else? Well, Lord, I ask that you would help us with all these things. Help us to so have the ability to hear your voice that I'm moved out of the picture and my wants and my agenda, that other things are moved out of the way and distractions, and that I can just purely hear your voice penetrating through the darkness that at times might be my heart and my mind. Help us to learn to relate to each other, because, Lord, you do want us to be united. And all of us have different opinions, and all of us see things different ways, but somehow you want to take this group of people that might be so different, maybe even others that are not with us that will be one day. You want to take all those different perspectives and have them all pointing in the same direction towards Jesus Christ. So help us to become that. Help us to overcome our old flesh and ourselves and our neediness to walk in the victory and power of the Holy Spirit. We ask for that in Jesus' name. Everyone said, Amen. So again, if you're interested in learning more, just text me. And during this Christmas season, before you react, ask yourself, how are they seeing this? How are they seeing this? And try to be the love of Christ in the world. Amen? Try to reflect God's power and God's peace and God's goodness and God's love and God's glory by being one with each other. Amen? God bless you. Love you guys. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you next Sunday.